God's people said, amen. Thank you for being here today. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 7 as we continue in our series, Restoring My Joy. If some of you are wondering how many we have preached so far, we are number 16. You know how many we do on Summering on the Mound, amen. A few short chapters there has a lot in it. This is Jesus' famous message, I guess you would say, and I have never preached all the way through the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm going to do it, no matter what, if you're left or not, okay? So I guess the only other longer series I've ever been through is probably Romans. It took us almost a year to go through the book of Romans, but that was some good stuff, amen? I'm about ready to start back over and do that again. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, it's kind of a short verses today, but it's a very important verse. You need to realize today, we're talking about crossroads of life. This portion of Scripture is one of my favorite. Jesus lays it out very specifically. He lays it out very narrowly. He's drawing a net. Okay, he's drawing a net. I want you to know that every Sunday I bring you to a choice. You make a decision. You say, well, I don't want to make a decision. You're going to make a decision. It doesn't matter. When you have somebody ask you, you're going to make a choice. And so we make our choices, and our choices make us. And so you're a product of the choices you made in life. You make good choices, normally good things happen. You make bad choices, normally bad things do happen too, okay? And so we have to realize that. So our choices, we're a product of the choices that we make in life. And so Jesus is drawing people to a choice, and I'm going to draw you a choice today. And so you're going to see as we go through this. So you have to make a choice, and after you make that choice, the problem is you don't get to lay out the consequences of the choices you make. We get the choice, but after that, we have consequences, and we're a product of those consequences, and you're going to see as we get down to it, you'll see what I'm talking about. So look there in Matthew chapter 7, and verses 13 through 14. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this portion of Scripture, and Jesus is narrowing down religion. He's bringing it to where the truth is, Lord, and the truth is found only in Him. So, God, help us understand that today, dear God, as we see You, Lord, that we're living in a world today of many religions, many faiths, many beliefs. But God, You bring us down to a narrow road, to one gate, and God, it's all found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, let us see that today. God, help us understand, dear God, that the world out there thinks there's many ways, but God, You say there's only one way, and let us point us to that one way, and that's Jesus Christ. And so tell us truth today. Teach us truth today that we might go out and teach it to a world. And we pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. So the thing is that we all have choices to make. We are at crossroads in life. Now, some people here today, you're at a crossroad when it might become physically. You have a physical problem, and you're trying to make a choice. We go to the doctor, we get a bad report, and we've got to make a choice. Some of you here, you're maybe in a material situation. Maybe it's a job situation, or maybe it's going to school, and you're trying to make a choice. Some of you have just gotten out of high school, and it's a big decision you're making. Are you going to stay here around close to home, or you're going to go out and branch out, or whatever it takes? You know, so there's big decisions. But also what we're talking about is there spiritual choices, that we make spiritual choices in our life. And the most important choice you ever make in your life is a spiritual choice, and that's what you do with Jesus Christ. And the reason that is because it has to do with eternity. All the other things, they don't have to do with eternity. Spiritual choice has to do with eternity. What you do with Jesus Christ determines where you go to heaven or hell. And I'd say that's a pretty big choice. I look at my life as something, I don't know why God called me in the ministry, but I'm thankful that He did, because I don't see anything else less important. I was telling a pastor friend of mine the other day, he was talking about how that, you know, he didn't find satisfaction in the ministry, and I told him, I said, listen, you'd have to step down to be the president, because what we do is eternal things, and sometimes we have to re-understand that. God has to bring us back to our calling and make us understand how important a pastor is and how important the church is. The church is important. And we're living in a time where people are just kind of casually walking away at the church, and it's like it's not important. It is important, and we need to realize that. And sometimes God brings us back, and a lot of times it's these crossroads in life, and it makes us understand just in how important that we are as Christians and the church is as individuals to go out and see a world come to know Him as Lord and Savior. So the opening today is am I on the right road? Am I on the right road? And so what are my choices for eternal life? Well, there's only two. There's either heaven or hell. That's what it comes down to. There's not multiple choices. It's either heaven or hell. And the world teaches us there's many paths and there's many ways. And there are many, I read this one time, there's many mountain trails to get to heaven, to get to the top. Or there's many rivers that lead to the same ocean. Well, the problem is we're not hiking or swimming. We're talking about heaven, amen? And so that it might be okay when you're taking a hike, and it might be okay when you go for a swim. But when we talk about spiritual things, there's only one way to the Father, and that's the person of Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that. And God warns us that man was going to have his own way. That man's always going to have his own way. We always try to figure it out ourselves, and we've got a better plan, and we try to follow our plan. But Isaiah 55 in verses 8 and 9 says this. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so we can't all figure it out, and God's got a plan. The problem is this. We need to realize that. Is He the Creator, and we're the creation. And we're not God, He is. And we try to play God, and so we try to figure it out for ourselves, and we try to make our own ways, and we try to do our own thing. And that's not how it works, okay? He gets to make the rules, and we follow by His rules. We follow the way He tells us, and that's what He tells us when it comes to salvation. That's what tells when it comes to the crossroads of eternal life. And so what does Jesus teach us about the choice on this road to eternal life? Well, the first thing, number one, is that there's two gates. Look what He says here. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate," He says. And so there's two gates here. For most people believe there's many spiritual gates to open to find life. Jesus says there's only two. He narrows it down. He says there's a wide gate and there's a narrow gate. And the gates can represent faith. It can represent understanding. It can represent truth. And so a lot of people think there's multiple truths, but it's narrowed down to one thing. So faith is what we trust in. So who or what are you trusting in to get you to heaven? Who or what are you trusting in to get you to the Father? Well, Jesus is saying, what He's saying is our faith has to be a focused faith. It's a faith in one, but not many. Here's another verse that many of us hear. John 14, verse 6, it says this. It says, Jesus answered, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So it's a very focused faith that we have. A lot of people don't come to Christianity because they say we're too narrow-minded. Listen, I don't want to be any narrower than the Bible is, amen? But I don't want to be any broader than it is either. And so if you say I'm narrow-minded, you can say what you want to. All I'm saying is truth. If you're listening to what I say, that's one thing. If you're seeing what the Bible says, it's something else. And so Jesus lays it out there for us pretty much in John 14, verse 6. "I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." So He's telling us there's only one way. There's only one trail. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that's through Jesus Christ. And we have to understand that. And the world says as long as your faith is sincere, it must be right. But you can be sincerely wrong. Have you ever been wrong about some things? I have. I've made some mistakes in life, and man, they were sincere mistakes. I was sincere. I was sold out. It sounded like a good thing. It sounded like I couldn't go wrong, and I bought in, and I jumped in, and found out later that I'd made a mistake. Well, let me tell you what. Your salvation, your eternal life, is too important to make a mistake on. Amen? And so I don't care how sincere you are, you better check it out with Scripture, because this is the truth. We need to realize that every man can be a liar, but the Bible is the truth of God. And so if you hear anybody or anything ever said any different than that, you need to check it out, because that's the truth. The Bible is the Word of God, and it's the truth of God, and we need to realize that. So a lot of people, they're sincere, but they're sincerely wrong. It's like the old boy that didn't believe in gravity till he jumped off the building. Okay, I mean, then he began to believe, but it was too late, okay? And so a lot of us, we can't see it, so we can't believe it. I ran into a guy here not long ago, and I can't remember where I was at, but I was talking, and he said, "I don't believe anything I can't see." And I didn't even go there. I can't remember. It was in a restaurant or something. And I think it was Barry and I was on vacation. I can't remember what. But I don't believe anything I can't see. And I thought, man, there's a lot of things that we believe in we can't see. You know, electricity. Aren't we glad that we have lights? I can't see it, but I believe it. Gravity. Well, like I said, we're talking about gravity. I can't see it, but I believe it. Okay, so there's a lot of things that we just take at face value and we just jump into. But a lot of people, when it comes to spiritual things, well, if I can't see it, I can't believe it. Well, let me tell you what, you'll miss God that way. You'll miss God that way is what you'll do. And you need to realize that. So He says there's a narrow way. Then He goes on, He narrows it down, and He says there's two roads. Where most people believe there's many roads to life, Jesus again brings it down to two roads. He said there's a broad road, and He says there's a narrow road. And again, Jesus is narrowing the way to God. He says in Acts 4 and verse 12, He says this, "Salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by one must be saved. I'd say that's saying it pretty clear, wouldn't you? I don't think he's not mixing his words here. And Acts here is not mixing the word here. It's telling us that Jesus is the only way. And so there's a broad way. And how's that broad way? Well, let me tell you what's going to send most people to hell. What's going to send most people to hell in the world is religion. Religion is just a belief system. It's a rule system. And how the world believes is that there's, you know, God put something in us to make us understand that there's something greater than we are out there. So we have this desire that there's something bigger, there's something more out there than who we are. You ever sit around and look at the sun or look at the moon or look at the stars and begin to contemplate, man, this is so big. This is so, you know, there's got to be something out there. There's got to be someone out there. Well, so God's put that in us, okay? That's one of the evidences for God. And so, but what happens is when you get that misaligned and you begin to chase your own rabbit, it can carry you down the wrong way. And so religion is the wrong rabbit. And what happens is it's somehow you trying to seek out that God, whatever you might call him or whatever you might call her or whatever thing you think it might be. We talked about Wednesday night about pantheism. And pantheism is a new ageism is what it is, where it believes there's multiple gods and you can kind of do your thing and I can do our thing. We're all going to end up at the same place. And so we talked about that Wednesday night into some detail. But that's not true, see. There's only one way. And this message kind of fits right into what we talked about Wednesday night. So pantheism is a lie, okay? And pantheism is not anything. It's new. If you go down and remember when Paul went in the book of Acts, he was talking about, he walked into a city and said, "What? I see you are very religious. You have multiple gods, okay?" And then he goes, he says, there's something, he says, to the unknown God. Let me tell you about that unknown God. And he always starts with creation. He says, I'm going to tell you about the God that made all this. And so you just look at your hand and the complexity of it. Or you look at your eye, or you look at your body and how complex. You think this is a mistake? You think this is just some kind of something fell out of a tree or fell into some water and come out and then got in a tree and we climbed around, we lost our tail, and here we are today? I mean, evolution is a lie, okay? It's a lie. God created us and he made us and we're made in his image and we're gods and God created us. And however, the complexity that we are comes from God and that gives us the evidences of God. God never starts out trying to prove there's a God. He just says, what? Look around you. Natural revelation ought to show you that there's a God. And then we come to special revelation, which is the Word of God and how we can see through the Bible, how we can see God and how it's planned out. And God's already told us what the end's going to be like. We look in the revelation. We know where this world's going to and where we're going to also. And he's talking about, so religion is leading a lot of people down the wrong road. And there's a lot of people thinking that they're going the right way, but they're not. And they're going to end up in hell. And you say, well, brother, that sounds so ugly. Well, it sounds like this, but listen, there's only 33% of the world that claims to be Christians. And we're kind of thinking about them, okay? It's 3.1 billion people claim to be Christians. So it's only 33% of us, okay, even claim to be Christians, okay? So that means that most of the people are not going to do this. Most of the people don't believe in Christianity. There's other things out there. But they believe in something. They believe in something. There's very few atheists. The old saying is there's very few atheists when the plane's going down, okay? Somebody's going to, you're going to cry out to someone, okay? So realize that broad road is religion. And then the narrow road, of course, is Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us there in Acts 4 and verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by where we must be saved. And that name is Jesus Christ. And then he goes on. We see two gates. We see two roads. And then he brings it down to two destinations. And so what we have to understand is he's talking about here the consequences of the choice we make. Again, we get to choose that gate. We get to choose that road, but we don't get to choose the consequences. And he lays it out here. He says, there's destruction and life. There's heaven and hell. That's the choices. That's where we're going to go, okay? The gate takes you to what? Determines the road you take, which determines the place that you end up. Life is not a circle. You know, we're talking about New Ageism and Wednesday nights and how that so many people are calling this. And one of the things of New Age is life is a circle and you just keep going around and around and around. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Hinduism and all the worship of animals and all those things and reincarnation and all that. The world's called into that, okay? A lot of people are buying into that today, okay? But I want you to know that you're going somewhere in life and it's not a circle. You're going to end up somewhere. You're going to end up at a destination. And that destination for you and I is either heaven or hell. That's where we're going. All of us in this room, I like to remind ourselves of this. We're all going to live forever. Not this carrying case, not this body. This is just a shell. The Bible says, calls it a tent, okay? And we're going to shed that one day. But all of us are going to live forever. Our soul and spirit are who we are. That's who we really are. And it's going to live forever. So when I walk up and see a person laying in a casket, we say they're dead. And that word dead, what that word death means, it means to separate. We're separating our body from our soul and spirit. That's what the word death means, okay? So they're dead. But listen, that soul and spirit's still alive, and when you die, bam, you either go to heaven or hell. That's that quick, just like that, okay? Your decision is made. Your choice is already made, and what you do with Jesus Christ is eternal. It's eternal, and so it's important. We have to understand that. And so one's destruction and one is life, and we make that choice by determining what gate we walk through and what road we get down and what place we end up. So life is not like a circle. It's going somewhere. And the question we're asking today is where you're going. You know, like I said, you're going to make a choice today. You say, well, I don't want to make a choice. You have to make a choice. So you choose not to choose, and so you still made a choice. But you're going to have to make a choice, and you make a choice. And this is an important choice that we make in life of where we're going to end up and where we're going to live our lives at. And so he says, what? There's destruction in life. And what road are we really on? And then the fourth thing he brings us to is this. He brings us this two kind of people. There's only two kinds of people, okay? And what are those? He says, Jesus names two groups of people. He says, the many and the few. We can call it the lost and the saved, the believers and the unbelievers is what we can talk about. Because why? I like to say this, there's no in-betweeners. It's about like somebody saying, I'm almost pregnant, okay, or I'm almost married. No, you're either one or the other. So you're either saved or you're lost, okay? And we need to realize that there's no in-betweeners. You're not riding a fence there, okay, where you think it can go any way. You're either saved or you're lost, and we need to understand it. You're either ain't or not, okay? We need to realize that. So it's like saying that we're almost in between things, and it's not. So Jesus is warning us here. What we have to understand that Christians are what we call the master minority. You're always going to be, if you're a Christian and you're living for God, you're always going to be in the minority. That's just how we see that through Scripture. Most people are already going to reject God. So a lot of people, they buy into the flashy, the new, all the different things. It's kind of like a bar. It's, you know, you'd walk up to a bar and you see all the neon lights, and when you open the door and walk in, all you do is see darkness, okay? Everybody looks better in the dark. You figured that out yet, you know? And so it's one of those things. And so it's kind of how life is. It's glamorous. It brings us in. It sucks us in. It's got all the thrills and the spills and all those things, and it sucks us into that. And all of a sudden, but it's going to leave us empty, see? It's going to leave us without something. But when we commit our life to Christ and we dedicate ourselves to it, we can go far further than we ever thought we could ever go and do far more than we get it. Because why? We're doing it for Him, and He's doing it in and through us and living His life through us. And that's what He leaves us here. Our whole life, it's like Mike said and what Jeff was doing. Our whole life is a mission for Him, see? Our whole life is. And so a lot of people think, well, I've got to quit my job to do something for Jesus. No, you do what you're doing for Jesus right where you're at. You're that witness. You're on that mission field right where you're at. You hadn't got to go anywhere. You're already on missions, okay? We just need to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and tell them about these two gates and these two roads and these two ways of life and these two destinations that they can end up on. And I know you say, well, that's very uncomfortable to me. Well, it is for me too, but I do it anyway. Because why? Because people's lives are determined. People's lives are at stake. I mean, I'm not talking about this here. I'm talking about for eternity. That's how important it is, and we have to understand. That's how important the church is, and we need to understand that. Like I said again, you know, what billions of people call themselves Christians, but the majority are going to walk away from the things of God and go their own way. What Jesus is saying here is that most people will reject a small gate and not walk down the narrow road. They will follow the crowd and to the destination of hell. Most people are going to go to hell. You need to realize that. So when we're Christians, I mean, that's why many people don't get saved. That's why many people don't come to Christ. It's because we say that, and people don't like to hear that. You know, and so we need to realize that and understand. But it's the truth, and it might bother you, but that's what truth is. Some people follow religion. Some people follow materialism. Some people just say, don't bother me. I'm not interested in the truth. Maybe that's how you are. I mean, when I was lost, I didn't want to talk about religion. I didn't want to think about it. I didn't want to think about important things. And so, but it is important, and we have to. That's why at a funeral, you know, I always wondered when I was lost, you know, why don't we have funerals? Why don't we go and see these people? This man, they died, just put them in a coffin, bury them, and go on. Why don't we have all this? Well, and so, but I think, you know, now I understand it, that now it's when we get to a funeral, we realize the importance of life. We realize the importance of relationships. See, we really don't understand how much people mean to us a lot of times until they're gone. You know, how many times have you reminisced and looked back and said, well, I wish I'd have said this. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have, you know, all these things I wish I had. Well, what happens is death makes us realize how valuable life really is. And we have to realize that. But listen, let's don't have to let somebody die before we realize the value of their life, especially if someone you say you love, someone you say you care for, someone you call your friend. I mean, how are you going to feel when you walk at a funeral, look in a casket, and you say, I don't know if they're saved or not because I never told them about Jesus? Let me tell you what, I've made that mistake a few times. It eats at me, okay? It eats at me. And I still wonder, is that person going to be in heaven? Because God convicted me, and I knew that person. I didn't know about that person's salvation, but I was more concerned about what they thought about me. I was more concerned about not making them mad and wanting them to be my friend than I was about their soul. Let me tell you what, friend. You need to realize the best friend you'll ever have in your life is the one to tell you about Jesus. One best friend you'll ever have in your life. It might be uncomfortable to you. It might make you mad at the time. And I had some people before I got saved. I remember some people come and talk to me about Jesus, and I really didn't want to hear it, okay? But I can still remember. And now that I'm saved, I look back and I think, I'm thankful for the people that God put in my life that had the guts to tell me about Jesus Christ. And that's what it takes. It takes guts. It takes determination. It's not comfortable for any of us, and we have to understand that. But what we're talking about today is serious, because Jesus is narrowing it down, and that's why a lot of people reject Christianity. He says, too narrow. But listen, He's the only way. Jesus is the only way. We sing it. We talk about it. The Bible tells us that, and that's what we preach. He's the only way. And so today we have choices, and your choice today will make an eternal significance in your life, and you need to realize that. Now, this is what we say here. I heard Adrian Rogers say this a long time ago, and I wrote this down, which talks about choices. It says, you can't choose not to choose, but when you choose, you can't choose the consequences of the choice that you make. Now, that's what he said. I mean, I wrote that down because I want to make sure I got it right. He says, you can't choose not to choose, but when you choose, you can't choose the consequences of the choice that you make. So today, you're going to choose. Say, well, I don't want to choose. You're going to choose because I'm going to give an invitation. And I'm going to ask you to give your life to Christ. And you're going to make a choice. You say, I don't like it. You're going to make a choice one way or the other, see. And when you choose, what you need to realize, you're going to make a choice today. But when you choose, you don't get to choose the consequences of your choice. But I'm already telling you the consequences of your choice is this. If you choose to reject Jesus Christ, the consequences of your choice is hell. If you choose to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the consequences of your choice is heaven. I'd say that's a big thing. I'd say that's pretty important, wouldn't you? You say, well, why would Jesus come to this little, this part of of the Sermon on the Mount? Why would he throw this in here? Because I'm telling you, it's talking about eternity, friend. You're going to live forever. You're going to be alive a million years from now. Your soul and spirit is. And where you're going to be at is determined by one thing, and that's what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why what we do is important. That's why Jesus is. That's why we praise his name. That's why we thank him. Because those of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we owe him everything. See? We owe him everything, and we know that. That's why we praise him. See, we don't come here to church to get our salvation. We come to church because of our salvation. You know, I don't get baptized for my salvation. I get baptized because of my salvation. I don't praise God trying to get him to love me. I praise him because he already loves me, see. So we have a good Father, the one that loves us and cares about us. And how good a Father is, listen, we're not trying to get to him. He's come down to us. And that's what the cross represents. See, our God is different than any other gods that people talk about, talking about a little g and whatever, because they're trying to get to their God. Our God come to us, see. And he come to us in a body. We call him the Lord Jesus Christ. It says, we say the word Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. And that's the person of Jesus Christ. And so it's not us trying to get to God. It's God coming down to us and saying what? Because he knew that was the only way we could be saved. And so God wants you to be saved. He desires for you to be saved. He loves you and he cares about you and he gives you it. But you have a choice, see. You make a choice. He's not going to make you. You have a choice in the matter. So look at your closing there. Which road are you on today? That's the question. Like I said, which road are you on today? That's the choice that we're coming to. Are you saved? Are you lost? Has there ever been a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Listen, just coming to church is not enough. Just getting baptized is not enough. Just taking the Lord's Supper is not enough. Just knowing the Bible is not enough, see. So you can know about the Bible and still die and go to hell. You can come to church and still die and go to hell. You need to realize that. Just walking in here in a day-to-day or a week-to-week basis is not enough to get you to heaven. What you have to do, what Jesus says, you must be born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. And who was Nicodemus? He was a religious leader. He was a teacher in the synagogue at the time. And he told Nicodemus, he says, you must be born again. And I'm telling you the same thing today. You must be born again. You have a choice to make today. You have a decision to make today. And we need to realize that. So the lesson to learn is watch your step. It matters. Because most people are what? They're going to follow the crowd. They're going to go on the broad road. Because why? It's easier. It's fun. It's nicer. It's paved. It's an easier way to go when you follow the crowd. And so most people are going to go that way. So when you're following the crowd, more than likely you're going in the wrong direction. You need to realize that. And the application today is don't always follow the crowd. Don't always follow the crowd. The crowd goes through the wide gate and it walks down the broad road that leads to the devil's hell with people that live a life for this world. And the crowd might have a lot to live on, but they have very little to live for. There's so many people in this world today looking for a reason to live. Let me tell you, let me give you one. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. He's the reason to live for. He's the reason we have a breath in our lungs. He's the reason we have a blink in our eyes. It's because of him. And our life is a mission, and we're to be living it. And why is that? Because what I'm preaching to you today in Matthew chapter 7 is truth. And there's people out there that don't know this truth. They don't understand that there's only one way to God. They're hearing all this stuff on TV and all these different things around, and they think, well, you can just believe anything and you're going to be all right. That's not truth. That's not truth at all. And we as a church, those of us that are believers, those of us that are saved, we have the responsibility and we have the opportunity to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. And it makes people uncomfortable. But listen, they're going to stand before God one day and give an account of their life, you know. You're going to stand before God one day and you're going to give an account of your life. And let me tell you what, he'll remind you of this message. If you're lost today and you stand before God, he'll remind you that, because what? This is truth, and you're going to make a decision today. What decision will that be? Heaven or hell? Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Nathan, I want to make a decision. You know, I've never heard it put that way. I didn't know about this. I didn't know about this truth, and I've never really understood that. I was at that point in my life. I went to church for 13 or 14 years. I never had one person tell me I had to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Never heard that. Went to church. I lit the candles, I wore the robes, I did the whole nine yards, I did all kinds of things, never heard, not one time. And if I'd have stayed down that line, let me tell you what, I'd have been a faithful, lost church member all the way to hell, okay? And maybe you're standing here today and you're that way, okay? But let me tell you what, listen, you can come to church all you want to, but church is not going to save you. It's only one person that's going to save you, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't do it, and you can't do it, let me tell you, but God can do it through you, through the Lord Jesus Christ. So maybe today you want to be saved. Here's what it takes to be saved. Listen to what I say. It's very simplistic. You say, well, how did you lead those children to the Lord last week? Well, let me tell you what, I got the opportunity to lead one. And this is what I told him. I told him as easy as ABC. A, we do what? We admit that we're sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means none of us measure up to God's standard because why? Because we're sinners and we don't measure up to God's standard to get into heaven, okay? So the first thing, we have to admit that we're a sinner. That ought not be hard for most people. Most of us in here have lied, cheated, and stole. We're a bunch of lying, cheating thieves is who we are, okay? Just got saved by God's grace, okay? So the first thing is admit Jesus. Admit you're a sinner. Second thing is believe. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross of your sins. It tells us in Romans 5 and verse 8, it tells us that God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now listen to this. It says God demonstrated his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so it's not get your life straightened up and come to God. It's come to God and let him help you straighten your life up. Anybody need help? I needed help when I got saved, friend. I had a lot of baggage. I was bringing along, okay? And so admit that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross of your sins. And the last is C, A, B, C, confess him. Confess him as your Lord and as your Savior. And this is where most people miss it. And this might be where you're sitting in church today and you've missed it, okay? You might have been sitting in church and you've missed this. Listen to what he says. He says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be what?
Saved.
He said, you will be saved. Now, here's where most people miss it. They say, oh, yeah, Brother Nathan, I don't want to go to hell. I mean, I don't want to go to hell, so, you know, I want to take Jesus as my Savior. I believe he died on the cross for me, and he took my sins away, and, you know, and I want to take him as my Savior. But the Bible says you don't get him as Savior if you don't take him as Lord. And see, that Lord part, that's the problem with most people. And what the Lord part is that surrendering your life. It's turning your life over to him, see. It's giving your life. And so the word Lord means he's the boss now. So it's a time, I'm turning from my sinful ways. We call it repentance, and I'm turning my life over to him, and I'm taking him as my Lord. And then my Savior is what? Is he down on the cross for my sins, see. So when he hung on that cross, he didn't die for his sins, he died for our sins. And today we do what? He's our Savior. When we accept him as Lord and Savior, he becomes our Savior and he saves us, see. So maybe there's never been a time in your life where you've done that. You say, well, Brother Nathan, I've been in church. I'm not interested in where you go to church. I don't care if you've been baptized or what you've done. Let me tell you what. There's a lot of people that's done all those things that are not going to go to heaven. And you need to realize, and I don't want you to be one of them. My goal at Mount Vernon is to make it hard to go to hell from here. We're going to make it hard to go to hell from Mount Vernon, because I'm going to preach the gospel, and I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to tell you the truth, and I'm going to let the Holy Spirit convict you and reveal truth to you. And I hope that maybe, I pray that maybe, that all of us that are on the roll of this church are going to be in heaven one day together. Amen? So today, maybe that's where you're at today. You need to admit that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus is the Son of God and died on the cross for your sins. And you need to confess Him today as your Lord and Savior. Have you ever done that before? Well, God's going to give you an opportunity to do that today. I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And if you want to be saved today, you pray this prayer. You don't have to pray it out loud. You pray it to God. You're not praying to anybody else but God. Listen, this is a heart thing, not a head thing. You see what I'm saying? You're doing this with your heart. And this is what I say. God does business with those who mean business. And only you and God know if you mean business. See, you don't know that I'm saved, and I don't know that you're saved. No man knows another man's heart, see? You got to realize that. But God does. God knows your heart, and you know your heart. And so if you want to be saved today, you pray this prayer with me. Let's all bow our heads. You pray this prayer. You ain't got to pray it out loud. You just pray it to God and mean it with your heart. Say, "Dear God, I admit that I'm a sinner. And I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And He died on the cross for my sins. And I want to confess Him today as my Lord and as my Savior. God, I ask You to save me today. Help me to turn from my sinful ways and surrender my life to You. And God, I want You to be the Lord of my life. God, help me to live a life that will glorify and honor You. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. And amen." Amen. I prayed a prayer like that about 33 years ago. And let me tell you what, it made all the difference in the world. Amen. And not only in this world, it made all the difference in the world I'm going to go to one day. Because one day I know I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of why? Because of what He's done for me. And the only thing I had to do is accept what He's done for me. And we call that being born again. We call that being saved today. So maybe today you did that. And we want you to share. Listen, it's a celebration. You're walking down the aisle and save you. I understand it. But we want to celebrate with you. This is the beginning of something. I don't care. Listen, if you're 80 or 8. This is a beginning. This is not an ending of something. It's a beginning of something. And we've got material we want to give you. We want to help you. We want to pray. There's a time to start growing in the Lord. See, that's just the getting in point. You're stepping across the line. But there's so much more that God wants to do with you and do through you. And when you get committed to Him, you'll wind up in places like I am. I thought I'd be a preacher. So many of you know my background. I never thought that, and it surprises me just like it did you. It's just, but God's just showing you what He can do with somebody. It says, "Here I am, take and use me." And there's no telling where God might move you, where He might go, where you might go in life, as long as you stay committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So maybe God's giving you that opportunity. And maybe that's the decision you made today, is you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You come down with myself or Mike, and we'll pray with you, pray for you. Or maybe here today, you've been saved, but you've never been baptized. Listen, what is baptism? It's a sense of obedience, is all it is. When you get saved, the Bible says get baptized. And all it is it's showing other people. It's an outward witness of you telling other people what you've done in Christ. It's saying, "I'm not ashamed of God," is what it's saying, okay? So maybe you did today, you need to come and you need to commit your life and you need to get baptized. Or maybe you want to join this church and be a part of what God's doing here at Mount Vernon. And He's doing some great things here. I get to be the pastor here, okay? I can honestly say that. And Mike gets to be associate pastor, amen? We can say that. We feel that God has led us here, and we're here because we want to be here. Our hands are not tied. We could go anywhere, but God brought us here and uses us here, and we praise God for that, and we get to be. And we have some great folks here, okay? Let me tell you what the most exciting thing about that Vacation Bible School. Not on the kids, that was exciting. Not on the salvations, that was really exciting. But for a pastor's heart, there was 30 volunteers here almost every day working with the VBS kids. Amen? In a little country church like this, have 30 people show up for VBS, man, that's praise God for that. Amen? Praise God for that. So that's a miracle. And so God is, so it's one of those things that we get to be the pastors here and we get to serve you here, and we appreciate that and appreciate what God, and maybe you want to be a part of that, and God's bringing you here to be a part of that. So if you have a need, or you've got something you want to pray with you about or for you, or you just want to come to the altar and pray, we want you to know this invitation is from God to you, and you come if you have a need in your life. Let's all stand. Jeff?
Oh, I've a thousand stories of one thing. Think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love. The dead of night as you tell that you're pleased and that I never. Good Father,
people said? Amen. Amen. Grant, do come up here just a minute, brother. Come on up here, Grant. I want to show you someone that God's done an amazing thing through his life and his family's life. And so praise God for you being here today, brother. And I want you to end our prayer with a prayer, okay? I have prayer, and then you pray for us, and God bless you for being back home with us, okay? God's used this man in a great young way. An old boy from Hall's gone a long way, amen. That's just what God can do with you, amen.
That's right.
So you have a word of prayer, and Mike's going to do an announcement, and y'all end the thing, okay? God bless you.
Hey, you're forgetting the most important thing.
What's that?
Grant was Casey's best friend in high school.
Amen. Yeah, brother. Yeah. Amen. God bless you, brother.
So inside your bulletins, you saw this little card that kept falling out. All right, so I'd like for you to take this card, and I'd like to find for you to find someone that's not in church. And I would just like for you, don't even say a word, but just kind of slide it over to them and invite somebody to church. So that's what that's for, is for you to go and get it out to people. And God is doing amazing things here at this church. God is moving in ways that I don't feel worthy. I'm sure Nath is the same way. We got some amazing people, as he's already said. But please take this challenge. I always challenge our youth. So why not challenge a congregation? Take this card. Find somebody that's not in church and just slide it over to them. Don't have to say a word. You can say, I love you, if you want to. That'll make it a little sweeter. But that's what that's for. If you don't have one, they're in the bulletin. So please, please get one and do that.